Hey everybody, I'm back with another episode of the Tokyo Podcast, and on this show, I'm going to be talking about some of the most common mistakes I see people make when looking for a job in Japan. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Joe. And yeah, I know it's been a while since I've been on the air, so let me give you all a quick update on what's happening. I believe on my last show, or one of my last shows, I mentioned that I was in Japan last year and I started a travel business. And basically, about a month or two before we were set to launch, the government shut the border and that pretty much killed our business. So what my team and I decided to do was that I'd come back to Canada, hang out in Canada for a while, and then we're going to try again next spring in anticipation for that big tourist boom thanks to the Olympics. Well, if you've been paying attention to the news, you know that the Japanese government has once again said no gaijin in Japan for the Olympics. So it looks like my travel business is on hold for even longer. So yeah, I'm kind of stuck in Canada now, and I'm not sure exactly when I'll be able to come back. It all just depends on how many of us get that vaccine and what the Japanese government decides to do with the border. But I wanted to fire out a few more episodes of the Tokyo Podcast, thanks to our sponsor, which is Jobs in Japan. They asked me if I'd be willing to ramble on about my thoughts about Japan. I said, sure, why not? But yeah, Jobs in Japan is sponsoring these shows. And if you are looking for a job in Japan, or you want to change jobs in Japan, go check out jobsinjapan.com. They've got a really cool resume system there that will help you find a better job in Japan. And in fact, if you're in Japan right now and you're looking for a career change, now's the best time to do it because it's really hard for any foreigners to get to Japan now. A lot of Japanese companies can't hire from overseas. So if you're in Japan and you're looking for a career change, now's a good time to do it. And you can be very tactful in your salary negotiations because Japanese companies can't bring any foreigners in. So the deck is in your favor. So yeah, go check them out, jobsinjapan.com. So since Jobs in Japan is sponsoring this show, I thought I would talk about some of the common mistakes that I see from people who are looking for work. As you know, I used to work for another shall not be named job company, and now I work Jobs in Japan. So I've seen a lot of resumes and cover letters and all those things come through the system. I've kind of seen the sort of the back end, so to speak, about what happens when you kind of send off your resume and how what the employers end up seeing. So I thought I would talk a little bit about today. I think I have 7 points that I'm going to mention about things that, you know, don't do this when you're looking for a job in Japan, specifically when it comes to like your resume and your cover letter. And these might be common sense things. If you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, no kidding, I would never do that. No worries, you're all set. You won't have any problems. But there are a surprising number of people who make these mistakes. I see them over and over and over and over again. So that's why I thought I'd mention it in here, just in case you make one of these mistakes, is gonna make it difficult for you to find a job. And I'll give you a little secret. If you apply for a job in Japan, you go to a job board, you see like, you know, 50 to 100 applicants or something like that, don't worry about it. Apply anyways, because most of those people will be making these mistakes I'm going to talk about in this show. Therefore, if you don't make these mistakes, your resume will stand out. And once again, you're going to be like scratching your head going, aren't these kind of obvious? But no. Trust me, on the back end, when you see it, when you see it as many resumes as I have, these things come up all the time. So you're going to be able to avoid all this. You're going to submit your resumes online and you're going to get a job easy peasy. Okay? So the first thing is having a bad photo. Now, you know, in Japan, they require photos with your CV resume, right? It's a little weird. It's a little bit creepy. Yes, we all know. Some countries do it. Some countries don't do it. A lot of people don't like it, but it's Japan. Deal with it. They want you to have a photo attached to your resume. Why? I don't know. They're Japanese. You never ask why in Japan. Now, they have very strict requirements for the kind of photo they want. Now, obviously, it's hard for me to describe photos on a podcast, but think of like a passport style photo. That's what they want. They want a passport style photo. So that means from the shoulders up, you facing the camera, not really smiling, just looking like a pleasant, normal person that they would want to hire and work in their company. Keep in mind, Japanese companies pay a lot of attention to whether they think you will get along with the other coworkers or not. Honestly, they really don't pay as much attention to skill set, especially if you're kind of a foreigner and you got some jobs maybe overseas or whatever. They have no idea whether those jobs are good or bad or what you did or anything like that. So they look at like they look at your photo and they think, huh, do we think John is going to get along with Sato in our office? Because one of the most important things for Japanese companies is to keep the harmony in the workplace. Everybody has to get along and work well together. If they think you're going to be difficult or trouble or you're going to stand out in any way, they won't hire you. And that starts with your photo. So having a really great passport style photo is the first thing that you need to do. Now, you would think taking a photo of yourself wouldn't be that difficult. How could you screw up taking a photo of yourself? Well, let me tell you. I can't show you some of the photos I've seen, obviously for privacy reasons. So let me tell you some of the photos that I've seen. I have seen lots of photos where people are wearing sunglasses. Now think about that. Think about what I just said about what the Japanese are looking for. Think about a passport style photo. Would you wear sunglasses to take your passport photo? No. Why do people wear sunglasses in their photo that attached to their resume? No idea, but I see it a lot. So obviously don't wear sunglasses. I've seen photos with people with their friends. And these are like Facebook style photos. Maybe they didn't, I don't know, for whatever reason, they couldn't take a normal photo. So like, I'll just grab something from Facebook. And they'll like grab a picture of them with their buddies at a bar, at a restaurant, on holiday, wherever they are. And there's like two or three people in the photo and they attach that. How in heaven's name are the Japanese supposed to determine which one of those people are you? You know, like it just doesn't make any sense. Not to mention, that's not the type of photo that they want. So no group photos. Speaking of similar to that is people who take pictures with their pets. Seriously, I've seen pictures of people holding their cat, holding their dog, holding their bird, holding their snake. I think part of it is that because some countries don't do the photo thing, some people try to put their personality in the photo. They think their personality is going to get them the job. So they want to put their personality in the photo. So they pose with their pet or whatever. Hey, I'm unique and I have a pet snake or something like that. That's not going to work. Also, and yes, I have actually seen this, posing with your manga or anime cosplay collection is not going to work. I've literally seen photos where people have got all their like manga comic books stacked up behind them or their cosplay stuff all around them or their anime figurines all around them. And they're like, they're trying to say, it's like, look how I'm so into Japanese culture that's why you should hire me. That's not going to work. The Japanese companies don't care about that kind of stuff. Okay. Photos with masks on. Yeah, starting to see that a lot more now too. Mask on. Yeah. We're supposed to all wear masks. But you know what? When you're the only person in that photo booth taking a picture of yourself, you don't have to worry about COVID, right? So don't wear a mask. And then one other one I've seen a lot too. This is kind of, I've seen a lot of women do this, is they take like a kind of an Instagram selfie, kind of a sexy Instagram selfie. Yeah, and they think they can use that. They're probably, take their most popular photo on Instagram and they want to use that. So some of them got their boobs hanging out, you know, they're in like a bikini or at the beach or whatever it is. Yeah, that's not going to work. That's not professional at all. Japanese company is not going to hire you just because you look like an influencer on Instagram, right? So don't take a photo like that. If you're in Japan, there are those like photo booths all over the place. They're fantastic. I love it. You go in there, you put, I don't know how much it is, a few hundred yen or whatever it is, take a bunch of pictures, boom, attach the photo, that's it. That's all you need to do. If you're not in Japan, passport photo. Look up the passport photo requirements for your country, take that kind of photo. I cannot believe how difficult it is for some people to take this kind of photo. Okay, so don't do that. Second is sending your resume without a cover letter. I see this a lot. I think people, what they do is they apply to so many jobs. They're just kind of like, you know, rapid fire everywhere, just kind of like hoping that one of them will hire them. And so they don't have the time to write a cover letter. So they send a resume without any cover letter, just like, here's my resume. And some of the jobs may be okay with that, more kind of on the lower end of the pay scale. But any kind of professional level, corporate level job is going to require a cover letter. If you don't send a cover letter, immediate delete of your resume. And if you want to stand out, even if you're applying for a low entry level job, if you want to stand out, write a kick-ass cover letter. Because most people don't include a cover letter. They just send like 500 resumes to every single job they can think of and hoping that one of them connects. And speaking of which, number three is having a generic copy and paste cover letter. So if you write like, dear hiring manager, I'm very excited about this job. Check out my resume. The regards. That's your cover letter. It's pretty obvious that you have just copied and pasted that to like every single other company out there. In fact, some of you make, of course, none of you listening to the Tokyo podcast, of course, but those other people, we can't believe you how many times I've seen people send the copy and paste cover letter to a company with another company's name or information in it. You know, they're sending it to McDonald's and they've got like, dear Burger King in their opening header. And it's just so obvious that they copied and pasted that. Or the file name will say something like Burger King CV or something like that. Like, come on. So for your cover letter, do not copy and paste your cover letter, okay? And speaking of your cover letter, you don't want to put a lot of irrelevant information in your cover letter. And this kind of goes back to the photo. I think a lot of people, they think that their enthusiasm for Japan is going to get them the job. And so I've seen people write all kinds of stuff. I studied judo for 14 years. I can use chopsticks. I love sushi. I love anime, manga, all this stuff in their cover letter. And I tell you, Japanese companies, they don't care anything about that at all. It's just all irrelevant information that, you know, doesn't tell them anything about what you're going to be like to work in that company. I remember this one cover letter we saw. This guy literally wrote he had spent $1,200 on his collection of anime figurines. And for that reason, he should be hired. Like, yeah, he actually literally wrote that. Because I've spent $1,200 on these dolls, you should hire me. I'm like, who's going to hire this guy? And you know what? Any company that would hire that guy, you may not want to work for that company. So your cover letter, don't make it generic. Don't make it copy and paste. And don't include irrelevant information. What should you include in your cover letter? Something about the company and why specifically you want to work there. Now, yeah, I know it's a little bit hard because, of course, if you're kind of entry-level jobs, you know, you're just kind of looking for anything that will kind of give you some money. And you may not be super, super motivated to work for like XYZ company. But try to do a bit of research on specifics about that company. Do they teach corporate? Do they teach children? I'm talking English teaching jobs here, but you know, like you, this applies to anything. But like, what does this company do? Using social media, using Google and all that, you can find out massive amounts of information about any company out there. So if, say for example, you're applying for an English teaching job and you find out that the school you're applying for teaches mainly children, write that in there. I love kids. I was the oldest of 14 kids. I took care of all my siblings. I think I would be fantastic for, you know, teaching your children the joys of learning English or something like that. You know, if you're applying for a corporate, tell them if you got a corporate background, you did some corporate training or whatever, write that in your cover letter. But keep it brief, keep it short. We don't need a novel. Some people write like long ass letters like, yeah, when I was 12 years old, I watched my first anime and that got me hooked on Japan, blah, 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 blah. No one cares. No one cares. And certainly the hiring manager doesn't care because he's got like 100 other cover letters to read through. So keep it short. Tell them why you're interested in working for this company. the skill set that you have. One trick that I usually do in my cover letter is I reference something in my resume because I'm hoping that it triggers their curiosity so they go look at my resume. So I'll say something like, hey, I'm applying for this job, XYZ, this XYZ position, and I believe that the work I did at ABC company, which is listed in my resume, is directly relevant to the position that you're hiring for. So that way they go, oh, what did he do for this company? They want to check out my resume. So keep your cover letter relevant, short, don't copy and paste, okay? Number four, your resume is either too long or too short. Some people write every job they've had since they were like a paper boy and they're like 10 years old or something like that. And their resume is like massively, massively long. Other people write their latest job and that's it. Just like their last job and that's it. And so their resume is like literally a paragraph long. The thing is, the Japanese, one, obviously Japanese don't want to read through a massively long resume, and a super short resume doesn't look good either, right? You have to kind of understand a little bit about Japanese psyche. What they're looking for one, is gaps in your resume. In Japan, it's not very common for people to job hunt, switch jobs in their career. They go work for Mitsubishi, they work for Mitsubishi for the rest of their life. So if you have these big gaps in your resume, 1 or 2 years or whatever, it looks kind of strange to the Japanese. I know in other countries it's more normal. You may take a gap year, you may take a sabbatical, you may take some time off to go travel or whatever. In Japan, they look at that and go, why weren't you working? You should be a good Japanese and you should work. So when your resume, you kind of want to make it seem like a natural progression to the job you're applying for now. Try not to have any huge gaps in your resume. And if you do, try to fill it in with something that resembles work. Study is a great one. Japanese love to study. If you told them like you took time off work to study the cherry blossoms or something like that, they love that kind of stuff. So, you know, try not to have any huge gaps in your resume and don't make your resume super, super long. Go back maybe about maybe, about 2 or 3 pages is kind of max, or go back maybe about 10 years or so in your career history, depending on how many jobs you've had, but make it relevant. Make it seem like that it would be a natural progression for your career to apply for the job that you're applying for, okay? And also one thing too, speaking of resumes, is some of you love to get creative with your resumes. Maybe you're artistic and you think, yeah, I'm gonna put 12 fonts in my resume and a pink background and I'm gonna put some anime figurines around it. Yes, I have seen resumes like this. This is not the time to show off your creative skills. You can write that in there and then show that off in the job interview. Resume, a Japanese resume, like a super hardcore Japanese resume, is like really, really strict. I think you get the documents that like, it's almost like figuring out like a government form. There's no room for creativity at all. They have these sections where you have to fill out your work history and all that. If you're writing like an English resume and you're submitting it to like an English company, obviously you have a little bit more leeway in the design and layout of the resume, but make it look professional. Don't know what a professional resume looks like? Google it. Download a template, fill that in. I'm so surprised sometimes when I see people's resumes and their job history may look good, what they've written looks good, but their formatting and their creative use of colors and fonts and whatnot just scream amateur, and those resumes get instantly deleted. Okay? So don't make your resume pink or blue or whatever, and you know, add all these other kind of stuff to it. Black and white, list your jobs chronologically, list your skill sets, list your contact information, slap your photo on the top. That's the best way you can submit your resume. Now you're saying, yeah, but then my resume is going to look like everyone else's resume. Yeah, that's true, but that's not necessarily a bad thing in Japan. Remember, Japan is not a country that values individuality. They want robots. They want people that will come into the company and do exactly what the company says. So you trying to show off your individuality in your resume is actually going to work against you. How you can stand out is with your cover letter, because that's the first thing the hiring manager reads. They get your resume, the email, they see cover letter, they see resume, they open cover letter first. If your cover letter is great, they'll read your resume. If your cover letter sucks, they'll just delete the email and they won't even take a look at your resume. So that's why it's very important to have a good cover letter that engages that hiring manager and prompts them to want to look at your resume. Okay? Next, I believe this is number 6 or something like that. 6 or 7. Having spelling errors or poor grammar in your cover letter or resume. Now, obviously, you know, this is not a good idea. And one of the reasons why, I'll tell you, so if you, maybe you're not a native English speaker, right? And you're like, oh, I don't know, I maybe made some mistakes or whatever. The thing is, the Japanese, they when they study English in school, all they study is grammar and spelling. They are masters at English grammar, probably better than most native speakers. They can't speak English at all, but they can tell you the rules, the procedures around English. So when you have poor grammar or spelling errors in your resume, it really stands out to the Japanese. They really notice this stuff. And if you're applying for, like, say, an English teaching job and you're a native English speaker, they don't understand why you have these spelling errors and grammar mistakes in your resume. They think all native people should be, like, absolutely perfect. Now, if you're a native English speaker, you like me, you're like, yeah, I know, we make a lot of mistakes. But quadruple check your resume. Have, like, 3 other people check it. If you're not a native English speaker, have 5 other people check it. Because I'll tell you something. For all you non-native English speaking people, this is not a knock against you. It's just what I've seen is I have worked with dozens, 2 or 3 dozen, lots of writers, okay, over the course of my time in Japan. And writers from all around the world. Some were native English speakers, some were not. And I can tell you that most of the non-native English speaker writers, their writing was pretty bad. Even if their speaking was good, even if their level or comprehension of English in their country was pretty good, I found that most of their written content was pretty bad and about the equivalent of kind of like a low high school level in a native English speaking country. Which we might say I'm comparing to like people in Canada, and that's not really. These are not like someone just like picked up a book the other day. I've had article submissions from people with like PhDs and like you know corporate careers and people who worked in media and marketing and all that. And when they send me the article, it's full of grammatical mistakes. And I think they don't really notice it. It's just that the way that they speak in their language. I think a lot of times they're kind of basically translating from their language to English and they just don't have that kind of native understanding of what works and what doesn't work. So it's not really their fault, but if you're writing and submitting a resume and a cover letter, have that checked by like 3 or 4 native English speakers. Because you may think it's perfect. In your country, it may be perfect. Your English level may be really high in your country. And you may even be able to go to America and walk around and no one ever suspects that you're not a native English speaker. But I've seen it time and time and time again when people write things, their kind of native language influence kind of creeps in. And some of the way that they word things is not the way that a native English speaker would word it, okay? So just keep that in mind. Just have it checked by a native English speaker. You'll be fine, okay? Speaking of language, I think this is 7. Don't exaggerate your Japanese ability. I know it's tempting to say, yeah, my Nihongo wa pera pera desu, but if you do that, the Japanese are going to expect that you speak pretty good Japanese in the company. And they might hire you because you speak pretty good Japanese. And if you write down there like I'm an N2, but the reality is you're like an N4, you're going to be in for a world of hurt when you walk into that company because they're going to expect that you speak Japanese. So yeah, it's tempting if some job say, you know, requires N2, N3 or whatever, and you've got an N4 and you're kind of like, just bump it up like no one will notice. You could be in for a big surprise when you walk into the office, or even before you go for the job interview, and there's like three Japanese people across the table from you, and they launch in the interview all in Japanese. And you are going to be very, very embarrassed when you suddenly realize, oh crap, I can't understand what they're saying, and I don't know how to respond to them. And the thing to keep in mind too is that, you know, there's like kind of like everyday casual Japanese, and there's like business Japanese. So if you say that you can speak business level Japanese, you better have a pretty good understanding of how to negotiate and communicate at a business level. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of people, no matter what language you speak, who don't even have that ability in their own native language. You know, if you don't have a kind of a background, a corporate background or a business background, there's terminology and nuance that you might not even be aware of in your own native language. So of course you're not going to be aware of that in Japanese, right? So don't exaggerate your Japanese ability. If you're N3 or N4, just write down N3, N4. And crack open that book and start studying the Nihongo. Okay? And the last one is, don't talk about your love of anime, sushi, judo, karate, sakura, whatever it is. People write this stuff a lot. Because once again, I kind of mentioned earlier, is that some people think that their love of Japan is going to get them the job. So they need to put that in their resume. Like, I love anime. I love manga. I love kendo. I love like sushi, all this kind of stuff. Hey, tell you what. So does everybody else, you know? Lots of people love that stuff. A lot of Japanese love that stuff. Guess what? A lot of Japanese don't love that stuff. Guess what? That almost has no relevance on the job whatsoever. They don't care if you love anime. They don't care if you came to Japan to meet your boyfriend or meet your girlfriend or you want to be, you know, all that kind of stuff. They don't care if you love Japan because you love Japanese culture. They don't care. All they care about is, what are your skill set? And how can that be applied to our company? How can you benefit our company with the skill set that you have? So leave all of that out. All of that out. I see people write it all the time about kind of like, they try to sneak it in, like in their cover letter or something like, I came to Japan to study, martial arts or something like that. No one cares. Just strictly talk about your skill set. What skills do you have? And how can those skills benefit the company? Okay, so I think that was about 7 or 8. And yeah, these may seem like very common sense mistakes. But like I said, I have seen these mistakes over and over and over again. So like I said, if you're applying for a job and you see there's a lot of applicants and you're like, I don't know if they're going to find mine or not. Honestly, just apply, because there's a good chance that a large portion of those people have made some of these mistakes and their application will not even pass the screening test. As soon as the hiring manager starts to read through their cover letter and sees some of these mistakes or looks at the photo, and it just instant delete. They don't even spend time to even like, you know, analyze it or anything like that. It's just like, okay, this guy's got a photo with him and his dog and he's drinking beer at a bar, delete, and then they go to the next one. So you're not going to make these mistakes because you are an esteemed Tokyo podcast listener. And if you see jobs that maybe have a lot of applicants and you're hesitant, don't worry about it. Apply anyway. Make sure your resume and your cover letter is top notch. And yeah, you will greatly increase your chances of getting the interview. Because remember, the resume and cover letter, the objective of those is to get the interview. The interview is where you can talk a little bit more about yourself. You can talk about your love of anime or why you're in Japan or your Japanese ability or all that stuff. That's where you can talk, expand on that a little bit, not at the resume. The resume is your skill set has to be the best fit for this job. You want to convince the hiring manager that, this person is interesting. I want to find out more about this person. I'm going to bring him in for an interview. Okay, so hopefully that helps. Thanks again to Jobs in Japan for sponsoring these shows. Like I said, take this information, go to jobsinjapan.com, look at your resume. If you're making any of these mistakes, fix it. And good luck to all of you at your job search in Japan.